That is, can the Father look at your life and find that you're a person in whom he can bless? Because he sees you using your life wisely. He sees you honoring him wisely. He sees you using your finances wisely to bring honor and glory to him. Can the Father bring blessings to your life because you positioned your life through obedience? Well, all throughout the pages of Scripture, there is one given, if you'll look all throughout the pages, and it's this. The God who created you, the God who created me, has a yearning to bless us. All throughout the pages of Scripture, you'll find the phrase, and the Lord blessed, and the Lord blessed. All throughout the Old Testament, you'll find that God blessed in so many different ways to those of his servants. And in the New Testament, you'll find that same reality. All throughout the pages of Scripture, it is the nature of our Heavenly Father to bless because he loves to bless that life that's walking in obedience. Moses, when he was getting ready to leave and was soon going to be taken up by the Lord, spoke to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. You don't have to turn there, but in chapter 28, he reminded them of the significance of obedience. He made it very clear. He said, if you will obey the Lord God and do whatever the Lord tells you to do, that all these blessings will overtake your life. And then in verses 2 through 14, he names blessing after blessing after blessing that God the Father will bring into their lives. God has not changed in any way, shape, or form. The same God that said that to Moses is also the same God that you and I serve in our day and time. Yet you look it around and you look at the fabric of the world and you see so many individuals in need, in want. You see so many individuals that are not living a blessed life whenever it comes to finances. So many individuals are barely making it. And yet that never has been the nature of the Father. It is his nature to bring about blessing. So why in the world are so many people missing out on the blessings of God? I really believe there is one key answer, and it's found in this message this morning, and one essential ingredient, and that is this. God honored giving. If you'll look in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus is doing the speaking. He's talking to his disciples, and he just literally gives them a law from God. Listen to what Jesus says in this one verse. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Jesus is telling his disciples very candidly and all who are willing to listen, he's giving them a principle and a directive for all of life. Whatever you give away is always going to come back. Always, without any exception. Why? Because God has decreed it. Everything God says is absolutely true, comes from the sovereignty of his nature. That everything that he says is going to take place because there is no word out of the mouth of Holy God but what he always will do, what he says. And Jesus said to his disciples, you give and it. In other words, whatever you give away will come back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And then Jesus ends, with the same measure you meet, it'll be measured to you. And so in line with that, Paul knew very well what Jesus had said. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and he is talking to them about the blessings of God and in reality how they can receive the blessings of God by honoring the Father when it comes to their tithes and when it comes to their offering. So I want you to listen very carefully and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Paul is talking to these precious saints of God and to you and me and reminding us how you and I can receive the blessings of God. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order unto the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring you liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now, Paul is talking to these precious saints, and although we have a chapter gap between 15 and 16, when Paul wrote this letter, there was no chapter gaps. In other words, he wrote it as a letter to the church. And when you look in chapter 15, one of the things that Paul talks to these precious saints of God about is about what they have through Jesus Christ. Now, listen to me very carefully. If you look at the backdrop of your life and ask these questions, where am I financially? How did I get to where I am financially? If you're struggling and having difficulty, what is there in my financial life that I'm missing? Have you ever been wise enough and ask yourself those questions? I must be missing something because I'm making pretty good money, but it seems like I don't even have a dime to my name. That story and that song and that verse is sung by literally hundreds and thousands of people around the world, born-again believers, as well as so many others. Well, what in the world is going on in our land? Why is it so many people are missing out on the blessings of God? Well, follow along with me, because in this message, you will understand how the Father, one, wants to bless you, and how you can receive the blessings of God. God makes it very clear. In the Old Testament, there was a man by the name of Jabez. Jabez was a very simple man. Don't really know a great deal about him. But the Bible says that Jabez prayed a prayer to the Lord God out of an obedient spirit. And here's the prayer that he prayed. Lord God, bless me. I pray you would enlarge my coast and keep your hand upon me and keep me from evil, that I would never bring grief to your name. And the end of that verse simply says this, and the Lord granted him his request. Is it your prayer that you be a blessing before the Lord God? Is it your desire to be a blessing to others? Well, follow along with me, because there are so many reasons why so many individuals are in dire straits financially. As you walk into this new year, you may say, I don't know what I'm going to do in this new year. I don't know what's going to take place. My job seems to be cutting back. They're cutting back my hours and all of this. These principles never fail. They come from the very heart of God, and they always, always, always work. Well, number one, God-honored giving, first of all, comes when you and I understand God's giving through Jesus Christ. Now, whenever Paul was writing in chapter 15, he made it very clear what Jesus Christ had done for the believers in Corinth. He reminded them that they didn't have to pay for their sin debt. Aren't you glad you don't have to pay for your sins? Aren't you glad you don't have to pay money for your sins? Listen, if you had to pay money for your sins, we'd all be broke. We'd all be in a mess. Some people go to a certain person and they get on their knees and they put so much money in, So they can get their sins forgiven. But listen, when Jesus Christ gave himself at the cross, he gave himself for the totality of your sins. Whenever you get on your knees and you say, Father, would you forgive me and cleanse me? You never have to wonder, because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he forgave you all your sin. You don't have to pay him for your sins. You don't have to pay him for your forgiveness. You don't have to pay for eternal life. Think about this. At the end of your life on earth, and when you get a little bit older, you start thinking about that. You start thinking about, you know, what life is going to be like. I just happened to be looking on my phone this morning, and there's a little picture of earth. And as I looked at that picture of earth, I just thought about the majesty and the mightiness of God, and I thought about heaven. And I thought, you know, I'm not a lot farther away. You know, I don't know when I'm going to go. Don't have the day or the hour like you don't either. But, you know, we're getting closer. But you don't have to pay to go to heaven. Imagine, Jesus said, you know, the Father said, your eyes can't comprehend, your ears haven't heard what God has in store for those that know the Lord, for those who are saved by the grace of God. And to think about, you don't have to pay for that, because when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, he gave that to you as a gift. Now let me ask you a question. If somebody came to you and said, you know what, I've got $10 million, sell me your salvation. I've got $20 million, sell me your eternal life. I've got $30 million, I've got $70 million, I've got $1 billion, sell me your eternal life. Well, the thing about it is, eternal life can't be bought or sold, it's a gift. And as Paul was talking to these precious saints, he reminded them, everything you have is the gift of God. Everything that God the Father has endowed to you is a gift from above. The breath you breathe, the life you live, every single aspect of your being is a gift from Holy God. And as Paul was talking to them, he didn't have a problem going from the spiritual and then he turned to the financial. Why? Because in reality, Paul knew that giving was simply an act of worship. Back in the Old Testament in Abraham's life, Abraham, because God had blessed him and given to him, Abraham paid a tithe to a priest in that day. His name was Melchizedek. Long before the law came into being, 400 years before God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, Abraham gave a tithe unto the Lord. Why? Because God needed it? No. But Abraham realized the awesomeness of the holy God in which he worshiped. Listen, the wonder about the God that you and I serve is this. He's never caught off guard with anything in your life or my life. And the Bible says he loves to give. When you read Luke chapter 6, verse 38, just listen to the words of Jesus. Give. Give what, Jesus? Whatever you give, it will be given back to you. Good measure pressed down. Well, are you talking about money? He doesn't stop at money. Are you talking about love? Are you talking about kindness? Jesus just says give, and here's why. He wants you and me to understand that it's the very nature of God to give. How many of you have eternal life because you did something? You and I didn't do a single thing. We responded to the call of God. And you see, one of the things that's involved in God-honored giving is this. When we understand God's giving in Christ, sometimes I'll hear somebody say something like this, well, I just don't understand why I should give my money to the Lord's church. That person is unwise when it comes to understanding what God Almighty has given him. Would you dare say that the money in your bank account, all that you possess, is worth one moment of eternal life? And you see, Paul backed up and he realized the goodness of a God that loves you and me. We don't deserve salvation. There's not a one of us in this building that deserve being saved. But Paul said it best in Romans. He said, God demonstrated how much he loves us when he gave Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. So first of all, God-honored giving comes first when I understand I'm not giving something to the Lord. I'm not giving like God's got a bill to pay or Jesus has a bill to pay. I'm giving as an act of worship. You see, one of the realities that is gone in so many believers' lives, and I want you to listen to me carefully, and it is why God has fingered their finances. The idea of honoring the Father with their finances has faded from their mind. It may have even faded from your mind. You're here this morning, you think, you're talking about money. You're talking about your life. Talking about far more than money. You see, so many individuals have gone away from the reality, and you heard me share just a couple of weeks ago, we are now a society 14 trillion plus in debt. Heard on the news just the other day, this statement that I had never heard before. For those that are 55 and under, do not expect Medicare to be there. I'd wondered and pondered and all that, but I finally heard it said on national news. If you're 55 and under, don't expect it to be there. What is the Father saying? Could the Father be saying around the world, you've used all your money for yourself. Where is the honor that is due me? Where is the honor that is due my name? Listen, God-honored giving comes when I realize only because of the grace of Jesus Christ I am what I am. It's because of what he's done. And Paul made that very clear to these precious saints. So first and foremost, God-honored giving comes when we understand that God gave to us his best. Why should you and I even think about quibbling when you have eternal life because of God's giving Jesus? Christ gave himself. Christ gave his blood. And then we have the audacity. Listen, we had the audacity to say, I just don't know if I can afford it. Do you hear what you're saying? It's like saying, God, I don't know if I can afford obeying you. I don't know if I can afford walking in obedience to your will. And you look at Christians' life, one after the other, they're cursed. There's no joy, no happiness, no tranquility. And all because they basically have a mindset. It's mine. It's all mine. Well, God-honored giving, first of all, comes when you and I come to understand what God's given us through Jesus Christ. Second of all, God-honored giving, when Paul was talking to these precious saints, is purposeful and regular. Listen to what he says in verse 2. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. Listen, if there is one sober truth that God brings home in this passage of Scripture, it's this. Every one of you, he's blessed. Amen? What person in this building has not been blessed by God this week? Number one, you can breathe. You can sit up. You can talk. Visit the hospitals and the nursing homes and look at the people that are laying in their bed that can't talk, that can't hardly breathe on their own. And Paul makes it very clear to these precious saints of God, don't you forget to honor the Father, because it's in Him we live and we move and we have our being. Paul made it very clear. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside. Now, I remember as a little boy, I had a paper route. I worked hard on that paper route. But my mother would invariably come to me and she'd say, now, Benny, don't you forget to tithe. And I thought, Mom, if you knew how hard it was for me to get 50 cents out of some of those people just for my paper route. And one precious lady, she wanted the paper and didn't want to pay. And I said, Mom, what should I do? She said, well, she don't pay. You don't have to go buy her house. And I never will forget one day. I don't know if it's in the flesh or in the spirit. I wasn't that old to understand. But I thought, you know what? It's the last day. I'm not delivering you another paper. You've not paid me in a long time. And I went by her house, and she came outside, and she hollered at me. I don't know if I waved or not, but I just kept going. And I'd get my little check or however it was given to me, and my mother would say, don't you forget the Lord. As a little boy, don't you forget the Lord. Now, parents, I want to talk to you right now. We're raising a nation of children that are forgetting the Lord in the very first aspect, and that